Welcome to Correctional Commentary, a podcast about the ins and outs of corrections, an uncensored view from behind the walls, hosted by Robbie and Caleb.
Hi, welcome to Correctional Commentary. My name is Caleb, and this is Robbie. Thank you all for joining us.
So on this episode one, we're going to go into just an introduction of me and Caleb, and kind of give you a background of why we decided to do this podcast. And we're just going to kind of roll with it. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Caleb.
Well, my name is obviously Caleb. I started in corrections July 31st, 2017 with the Department of Corrections for the state. I spent my rookie year with that department from 2017 to 2018. I left there and went to work for a local county sheriff's office for at the county jail. So I became a correctional deputy from 2018 to February of 2021, where I left to pursue other opportunities. Then I returned back to the State Department of Corrections in 2022, and I left again finally in 2024, in July of 2024.
Okay, so I guess I'll so a little bit about me. I started with the State Department of Corrections back in 2014. I worked there for about 3 to 3.5 years. Before I met my wife. My wife actually worked at the local, it's a bigger metropolitan area sheriff's office. And then I made the transition from the State Department of Corrections over to the sheriff's office. And I was there for about 4 years. And then I left from there after that 4 years, and I just kind of went on a hiatus. Needed a break from the politics and just the general hecticness of this career. And what ultimately drove me away from the sheriff's office was just the politics in it. It's so much worse than the state. And then moving forward, I came back to the Department of Corrections in 2022, and it was the best decision that I made. I've done a lot of advancement in my career very fast, where I have had some tremendous opportunities that we'll discuss in the future. Now, Caleb, you mentioned that you took a hiatus. What was the reason that you left?
It was kind of similar to like you said. You tired of the politics. I can definitely say that at the county level, the politics are much worse. Now, for our listeners, I was at a much smaller county jail than what Robbie was at. I was not in what I would consider a metropolitan area. And I feel like that especially in the smaller jurisdictions, the politics are 1,000 times worse than the bigger jurisdictions. So I left there because I was tired of it. And it was unfortunate because I loved my job. I even loved my coworkers, but I was getting fed up with watching the politics run this career field, this craft, so to speak, that I very much fell in love with and destroy it. I left and took a temporary contract with the federal government. And ultimately what drove me out finally this past time was, again, it was the politics. It was the job itself, seeing a lot of changes for the worse. And no matter how hard I tried to make the system better and do what I could, it was taking a toll on my family. My wife and I, in particular, our marriage kind of went on the rocks there for a little while, even more so. to quote my wife, I was losing my humanity because of what I was having to deal with on a daily basis. And I got blessed with an opportunity, a once in a lifetime opportunity that I just could not pass up with the federal government. So yeah. I had to say goodbye to my love of corrections. I still love corrections. I mean, I spent 5.5 years of my entire adult life in total that, I mean, I was a supervisor. I led men and women alike. I trained people in this line of work. I loved it. And it was sad to see the cancer that is politics take it over.
Yeah, you know, that's something that I really had to grasp. If, you know, and it's sad, if you want to move up in this career field, you know, you really have to be at least a part-time politician.
Yep, I agree 1,000%.
That's something that I've gotten better at as I've gotten older. And that's, you know, it's part of the reason I'm, you know, leading my own team now.
And see, that's what always has separated you and I, Robbie, over our friendship is you are better at playing that game. I am not. I am much more of a straight shooter, not really giving a flying fuck about your feelings, because I feel like if I'm not, I'm lying and I'm not being true to myself and being honest, and I am not a deceitful person. I don't care about your feelings. A little funny sub story in that, and kind of goes with the politics. When I worked at my local county sheriff's office in the jail, I told the assistant jail administrator, the captain, to go fuck yourself, because one of the sergeants was playing a joke and falsely told that captain that I had said that, and I had overheard it. And I stepped in the captain's office and looked at him and say, "Captain, I didn't say those words, but I will now. Go fuck yourself." And I walked away. But I'm that kind of person. I don't give a shit what rank you are. I never have. The way I look at it, you put on your britches the same way I do, one leg at a time. We all bleed red. We're all the same. I'm going to respect your position, but I'm still going to cuss you. I'm still going to laugh with you. And that could be one of the reasons why I wasn't promoted for very long. Because I refuse.
Well, you know, and you know, I get that, and I spent the majority of the first part of my career in corrections at one facility, mm-hmm. and that is, I make more enemies than I make friends because I'm a very blunt person.
Yep,
and I have a very low tolerance for bullshit. stupidity.
Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, and everybody's, you know, it's a very common saying that, you know, common sense isn't common in, you know, working in corrections.
yeah. If you want to find stupid, go to a prison.
but, you know, circling back around, you know, that's one of the problems of why, you know, I'd never see anything change. And, you know, let's dive into kind of, you know, that's going into why we're doing this podcast, because, you know, corrections is something that is seriously underrepresented.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. In fact, I was just telling my family tonight, corrections always gets brought up, but because I'm the only member of law enforcement in my family ever was law enforcement. You know, prison, and I think Robbie would even agree, prison and county jails or corrections in general kind of has this mystifying effect, especially to people that have never either been incarcerated or worked there. But I was even telling my family tonight that, you know, we as corrections officers, we're the unsung heroes of law enforcement. We are behind the scenes.
And it's also, you know, unseen.
Yeah, 100%.
A lot of people, and that's something that I hope that this, you know, this podcast, and we're going to put out videos too. Mm-hmm. Of, you know, I'm hoping that this platform will bring a lot of stuff to light of, you know, how officers are treated as well as how inmates are treated. You know, you hear a lot of one-sided, especially on TikTok now.
Oh God, yeah.
TikTok and other podcasts. You hear all kinds of one-sided, you know, ex-offenders saying how their life was so terrible inside. And, you know, just given completely one-sided.
Yeah.
They don't want to take, you know, they don't want to take responsibility for their actions. And then it's easy to push blame off on somebody that, you know, the public doesn't know anything about.
Well, you know, and I'm going to, but I will say this about that. And you and I have both seen over our careers, the different kinds of officers, different kind of people that wear that badge. I'm not saying this is 100% true 100% of the time, but at times when inmates make these claims that, oh, they did this to me or they abused me, whatever. Sometimes there is genuinely some merit to their claim. More times than not, there's not, but I know Robbie and I have met how many officers you think that had that quote unquote badgitude, as they say in our academy, that think you're God because of the badge. So that is something I will say.
And the problem and there's, you know,
go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, you're good. You know, there's those people that I was just going to touch. There's the people that, you know, go into this lot of work for the wrong reason.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I can probably name about 15 right now easily that I know. Some of them are no longer in that field, thankfully. But some of them still are. And some of them have rank. And it's unfortunate.
Yeah. And it's crazy how those people that, you know, don't really need to be there are able to promote up just because they're good politicians.
Yeah.
And just because they can, you know, gel right with certain people.
Yeah, and I heard. It's sad. I'll never forget. I heard in my rookie year. Because again, I bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, thought I was going to change the world, you know, thought I was going to save it. And I'll never forget, I had one old head of an officer. He'd probably had 20 years in at least at that time back in 2017. I'll never forget, because we just had a round of promotions. And some of those people I knew, and I thought, dadgum, they're not the best people. They shouldn't be ranked. And I had this guy, I was talking to him about it. I'll never forget, he looked at me and he said, man, if you want to get promoted, there is one of two ways to do it. One, be a teetotal fuck up around inmates. That is option number one, because if you're a fuck up, their solution instead of firing you is promote you and get you further away from inmates. Doesn't make a lick of sense, but that's the way it is. Number two, go to the store and buy good knee pads and be ready to get underneath the desk and get ready to flatten out a spot on your head because you're going to need it. That was really it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree to some extent, but me as somebody that, you know, I guess this kind of goes into, you know, our background. I went from an officer to a sergeant in the matter of 6 months.
Yeah, and that is true.
And I went... You know, I started at in the past 2 years, I've worked at four different facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And that gave me the tremendous opportunity to run a brand new division with the department.
Yeah.
And every one of my, and this goes to, you know, the show of the politicians.
Mm-hmm.
That every one of my promotions, I was promoted to a different facility or a different team.
Yeah.
So I think that there's a really good benefit of bouncing around facilities and volunteering to go to different facilities if you get a chance. And see, because it really teaches you how to adapt.
Yeah. And I'll even further that with going back to my comment about badgitude, how many inmates, when we worked at the same facility together, did you have tell you, this ain't a real prison, man. I want to get off. I want to go to a real prison. These COs that are talking to me like this around here, they wouldn't make it at a real prison. And sometimes those inmates were right, because I would witness it and like, dude, you need to go work somewhere else and talk to inmates that way. You'll get your head bashed.
Yeah. I mean, I've, especially, you know, with the state that I'm in, you know, you got some prisons, they vary drastically. I worked at a women's facility, which was a very, very toned down, a little more laid back. I mean, but I've worked at maximum security. I've worked on death row. I've worked in gen pop. I've worked classification all the way down to, you know, county.
Yeah.
But in the real prison, there's a lot of merit there.
Whatever
inmates want to say, you know, this isn't a real prison. There's a lot of merit. And I think there's more merit than a lot of officers will give credit to. Just because, you know, you don't know what you don't know.
Right. And I can tell you what kind of was my exposure to a real prison, so to speak, again, was the time I was at the sheriff's office. And the reason why I know that's a jail versus prison, that's a whole different episode of this podcast. But when you work in a jail, you have what we call revolving door inmates. I mean, guys that would come in for petty charges, and they would be fine. They come in that day, they'd get out the same day. You see them again 2 days later, and it's on like Donkey Kong. I mean, fists are getting thrown. It's on site. You don't know what kind of things they got on them. They're on varying substances. That was my exposure. And it was because I'm very thankful for my time at the sheriff's office, because it really taught me to use this more than anything.
Sure.
Yeah. My mouth. Sorry. I forgot. You know, this is an audio thing. I was putting in my mouth and in corrections. And I think Robbie would even agree, your mouth can make or break your career. And I'm not talking about the political side of the aisle as far as the politics. I'm referring to simply with an inmate or inmates and getting things done without violence. Because for the listeners out there who don't have any experience with the corrections, on average, nationwide, correction staff are outnumbered. I believe it was somewhere close to like 50 or 60 at a low end to one CO.
It's even, you know, it can be. That's on the extreme, extreme low end.
Right.
The facilities, especially, you know, in the division that I'm in, we go to the facilities that are short staffed.
Yep.
And I've seen, you know, we've run shift with a quarter of the officers that we need.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that. It's sad whenever we get that alarm button.
Oh yeah.
And you go out onto the yard and you look across the yard and you don't see anybody running.
Yeah.
Just because there's nobody there. And that's where you need to learn your mouth.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You know, I'll never forget one night when I was at the sheriff's office. On paper, we were supposed to have 8 of us, including a supervisor. Well, I was the second in command of the shift, and I was running the shift, so that means we automatically started out with 7. I believe we had 3 people call out, so that left us with 4 automatically. And to put it in perspective, my county jail, we had 2 floors. We had to have 2 deputies down to the booking counter, which is the ground level floor. We'd have 2 deputies upstairs in central control. I had this philosophy because I was the acting sergeant more times than not. In this particular night, I had this philosophy with all of my deputies. Officer needs assistance is called. You run. It doesn't matter. Unless you are actively getting your ass whipped or something stringent, run, get to them. Does not matter. Get a hold of a body part. If that means if you grab a thumb and do the old idiot twist, you know, like that, absolutely, do it. It's better than that.
You know, that's corrections 101.
Oh yeah.
And we, you know, with just among officers, it's known if you don't respond to an officer needs assistance, well, we meet in the parking lot.
Oh yeah, it doesn't matter. You meet a local gas station right up the road.
and that's if you're patient enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think ultimately, you know, that's what we want to do with this podcast is we want to bring to light what you can expect.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
As whether it's a new officer, whether it's a returning officer, if you didn't have a whole lot of experience,
mm-hmm.
we want to, so you would call, break the stigma mm-hmm. of people, you know, not thinking that we're law enforcement, not thinking we're first responders, because I've given CPR on more people than I would like to, you know, more people than I would ever like to do.
Yeah.
I respond to fires. If you want to grow up to be a firefighter, policeman, EMT,
yeah.
you know, go be a correction officer. You'd be all of them.
You know, you say that. I was getting ready to make that same joke that when I was a kid, I wanted to be a EMT, firefighter, police officer. So I became a corrections officer. Oh, and I also wanted to be a therapist. So that way I became a corrections officer so I can be all of it at the same time. So, because that's what we are, guys that are listening. You know, on paper, it says, you know, we're supposed to maintain it. The job description is vague in compared to what we're actually saying. The job description is very much basically maintain a safe and secure facility. How?
Effective community supervision.
Yes. You know, I've had inmates come to me and need me to be their therapist. God, you realize I'm not a licensed therapist. Man, I just need somebody to talk to. Please, will you talk to me? Okay. Yeah, I'll talk to you. You know, I've ran insane, and this is all happening one shift. I've been talking a guy off a ledge to fighting in a knockdown drag out within 3 hours of with a different set of guys, all within 3 hours of each other. And I feel like that's what makes corrections so unique. And it's so crazy that it is such a unique career field that it still stays behind the scenes. And it's kind of one thing that has always baffled me about being in corrections. You know, yeah, go ahead.
And, you know, a lot of people don't know, especially if you don't have anybody in your family that works in corrections.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only thing you ever see is the locked up, over dramatized.
Oh, good God, yeah. 30 days in.
TV. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all you see and that's all you know. And that's, you know, that's just not the reality of our day to day lives.
You know, I my mom has asked me in the past, she has said, so what has Hollywood gotten right about the prison? If anything. And I said, you know, Mom, they got a lot wrong. They still get a lot wrong. But one thing I will say they definitely got right was the inmate hierarchy. I have witnessed it myself. If you are a sex offender, especially a child sex offender, you are lower. The dirt they walk on has more use than they have more use for that than they do you. That is something Hollywood got 100% correct. And the murderers are definitely at the top. You know, if you kill another man or kill another adult, you are higher up on that food chain than somebody that hurts a child. So, and Robbie, I don't know if you agree with that or not, but my personal experience that I've witnessed that consistently over the years.
For sure. I see it daily with the facility that I'm working at right now. It's mm-hmm. The facility I'm working at right now is the one where the problem children get sent to.
Yeah, and
so, you know,
that's funny. Because that used to be another facility. Now it's become yours.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely something that has made me grow into a better officer as well as a better person.
Yeah.
And a smarter person. it really, this career field makes you think about what you say. It makes you think about how you respond. Mm-hmm. And it also brings in a whole other world of fears.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's something that my wife's dad says, in this career, you know, you work with the worst of the worst. Mm-hmm. The people that just don't care.
Yep. Especially ones that are facing life, putting their life sentence to them.
Absolutely. But I think we're going to call that the end of this intro and while we're doing this podcast. Do you have anything else?
No, that's it. Just I can't hope you guys tune in for the next episode. We will have – we'll be doing that on a pretty regular basis. So we guys hope you guys enjoyed. I will say this as a closer. Whether you're religious or not, no matter what your belief is, anybody that's listening, I would ask that we keep in remembrance of our correctional heroes and our professionals that go in day in and day out, when they kiss their spouses goodbye or in their children or their loved ones. They don't know if that's going to be the last time they see each other. So I say to the listeners, keep them in your thoughts, your prayers, your good vibes, whatever you may or may not believe. Just keep them in thought, because these are the guys that are keeping your nightmares locked in. They're keeping them contained, and it's a very honorable profession. So that's how all I wanted to say.
All right. Well, till guys, we'll see you later. We'll see you next time.
See y'all.